All right. Thank you all this morning for your patience. We are running just a tad behind today. I'm going to ask for a volunteer for prayer. And whoever responds, before you pray, we will all stand and we would like to today have a moment of silence. We have an individual who's worked for Commissioner Nowak in his district, lost his daughter this week, Ron Hill, and his daughter Wanda Bingham. And it's just sad. And so as I talked to the commissioner, I wanted to have a moment of silence. So we'll do that in just a moment. But do we have a volunteer for prayer who would come and pray for us today in our court? Yes. Would you mind coming up? And then let's all stand. And just before you do, though, let's just take a moment of silence if we can. So we all bow our heads.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I just come to you today, Lord. Lord, I just come to you with thanksgiving. Lord, I just ask that you to be with this Bingham family, Lord. Lord, I ask that you be with each and every one of our commissioners today as we make healthy choices for our community. Lord, I ask that you just be with each and every individual in this room. Guide them, protect them, and direct them in all their moves. Lord, I ask all these things in Christ's heavenly name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you very much. Our pledges, first to the American flag and then to the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor to the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. But the record reflects today that all are present. And we want to move to our approval of our commissioner's court. Are there any modifications, Commissioner, this morning as we move our agenda?
Yes.
Commissioner Nowak?
I'd like to defer 10I2C on page 6. 10I2C on page 6. And I would like to move 15C up in front of the consent agenda. 15C.
Okay. All right. Are there any other modifications? All right, then. Do we have a motion to...
I thought you had...
I have to come back and I've got to get the consent agenda approved.
Oh, okay.
I was told by our attorneys. Okay, this is it's a little bit different than what we usually do, but for what we're doing here today, this is what we've been advised to do. Do I have a motion to approve the commissioner's agenda today with modifications?
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Yeah.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. At this time, we have an opportunity to listen to our citizens. I would ask that as you come and discuss and share with us what you would like to share this morning, that it is a topic on the agenda, number one.
We're going to do 15C before the...
Before the citizens?
Yeah, before... Absolutely. And then before any action is taken, if any is needed, we'll let the citizen come.
Okay. No worries. Then if we would, then let's look at... That's right. Commissioner.
No, that's great.
All right, 15C. Commissioner, okay. If you'd take it away.
Absolutely. So over the last several election cycles, we've had a lot of issues and conversations about, what happens at polling locations, what happens in the parking lot. And after listening to constituents that have expressed their opinions to me coming either to the office or to commissioner's court or just randomly when they run into me somewhere, there's been a lot of concerns from all sorts of people that really I've wondered, well, if you listen to all of these concerns and try to understand what the key issue is, How do you go about trying to resolve some of these issues? And the issues are overcrowded parking. So voters come into South County Community Center, for example, they can't find a place to park. This could be because there's a lot of people voting. It could be because of activities at the library. It could be because of people that are parking there to support themselves as a candidate, or people that are there to support their candidates. We have issues with a lot of, you know, signage, and sometimes the signs block the view of the driving public. Sometimes signs are stacked really high and they fall over, and they may fall onto somebody's vehicle, or they'll fall into the parking lot, causing cars to have to go around them. And another issue we face is people damaging county equipment or county property by using T-posts and T-post drivers and hammering signage into the ground, and they'll hit a water line or an irrigation line. And because of the seriousness of this issue, I've been consulting with the county attorney's office, and we've gotten in touch with the elections department, and we've gotten in touch with Secretary of State's office. And while all of those issues are important, there's really nothing more important than protecting our First Amendment rights and protecting political speech. And so the purpose of this item isn't to limit those activities. The purpose of this is to have the county attorney kind of share with you what we found and let people understand that while we know that it's not a perfect system, it's the best system in the world. Is being able to have the opportunity to freely vote, to be able to be out and support your candidates. We all need to do it with a little bit more respect with one another. We need to treat people respectfully, but it's not worth it to curtail our freedoms to make people feel a little bit better about the process. So, BD, if you could share a little with us, I think it'd be great.
Thank you, Commissioner. As you stated, this agenda item came up when you and I first started talking about it. I had some other discussions with some other people as well. The bottom line is, when you are looking at political speech, and this actually almost creates a conflict between two pillars of our government, our country, the right to vote and the right to free speech, especially political speech. While there is an election code section that says a government can make reasonable restrictions upon electioneering activities on government property, and there is one case out of the valley that did find some restrictions on part of it, and some were not sufficient. The law is basically that when you are especially in a public fora or public place, if you're enacting any type of regulation that tends to infringe upon free speech, especially or free speech, then it's got to be very narrowly tailored to really be as little infringement upon that speech as possible. And when you're talking about general rules for that, it is almost impossible to do. So, you know, based upon just a general rule for trying to say, you know, this is how we're going to make restrictions on county property when it acts as a polling place, that is really almost impossible to do constitutionally and legally, and we would not suggest you attempt it. Even if there is a narrow area where you could do it, anytime you talk about reasonable, that is a litigation point. It's going to get us involved in litigation, and the ultimate is usually not a good cost-benefit analysis to get involved in litigation, especially when, as you've expressed, they are – the right to vote and the right to free speech, especially exercise political speech, are paramount in our country and in our county. So what we would urge, rather than any type of commissioner's court resolution, would be to look at if there are problems with specific polling places, some non-regulatory type of actions, maybe, as we discussed at one point, maybe adding people to help direct traffic flow. I think you mentioned injury to county property. Well, really the least restrictive remedy to that is not to prevent someone from placing a political sign there. It's to, if they break a sprinkler
system. You break it, you buy it.
You buy it, yeah. You pay for the repairs, so to speak. So in looking at the issues with regard to any particular site, I think they need to be site-specific. And then just on those days, procedures designed to do both. Help the flow of traffic, help the flow of voters in there, as well as not restricting any type of political speech or activity there.
And that would include, because one of the things that I asked you about was parking in particular. And you said it would not be reasonable and it would not be advisable to even try to limit who's parking in that parking lot. If people want to park there to support their candidates, or if the candidate herself parks there, that's okay. Let it go.
Yes. When you get into the purpose for being in a public parking lot, unless it's an illegal purpose, we do not recommend you try to restrict that in that regard. And the one reported case out there, I'll just throw this as an aside, so that you understand that sometimes issues in a very passionate situation aren't solely to Montgomery County. In that case, they would set up barbecue pits, and there was a dispute over a barbecue pit, and as the federal judge said, chicken was thrown across the county parking lot. So I haven't heard of any chickens being thrown in Montgomery County, but we are not unique in this situation where our political parties and politics are at a high level. But again, the trying to make blanket restrictions with regard to polling places, we do not recommend at all.
Understand. I think I appreciate the clarification. I hope that those that have asked for restrictions or changes to be made, I hope they understand that, again, the most important part of our political process is the people having a voice, and how they choose to do that may vary, whether it's in a parking lot or by, hosting a meet and greet, but we certainly don't want to do anything to dissuade that, and we really need to make certain that we all protect it. Last thing, again, while we are entering this political season, I wanted to put this on the agenda, have some clarification, and use it as a reminder to all of the candidates, all of the poll, everybody that's going to participate, to treat each other neighborly. The last few election cycles, the last one in particular, I think the South County Community Center law enforcement was called out there 5 times for really for not a whole lot of there's a more important things law enforcement could be doing in monitoring parking lot activity. So let's all try to be respectful to one another, and may the best person win.
So, BD, Commissioner, on this particular item,
I seek no action. So,
do we want to defer this, or just seek no action and end it there? We still like to hear if the citizens would like to make comments.
I believe that because there's been some discussion before public take action. If there are any public comments that wish to be made, you need to take those public comments.
Right.
Okay, and then upon the end of
those public comments on this, then you can take action, either defer it or to take no action, to move to take no action.
No action. Okay, very good.
And your final last part, if there is a particular need at a particular area, they should meet with you If there's a polling location that has something happening and a commissioner, because what happens is everybody comes to the commissioner, oh, it's a commissioner's problem, you've got to do something about it. I guess we can consult with you or law enforcement.
We have fielded questions during the election cycles on certain matters. Sometimes the polling place handles it themselves, but we are available for consultation with regard to that.
And BD did make a comment that it can be site-specific.
Correct.
Like you said, if there's an issue at a certain site.
In order to pass constitutional muster, in my opinion, almost has to be site-specific because you can have different types of sites within the same polling location. You can have sites that are what are called traditionally public fora or public places, which almost no restrictions can be made. You can have non-public areas, which reasonable restrictions can be made. So it is almost impossible for this court to do a blanket policy, in my opinion, with regard to county property, especially when it comes up against the using the county property during polling, during elections.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, BD. So at this point, we do have some individuals who would have wanted to make a comment on this particular issue. Are you still interested in making comment? Larry Rogers, your name was on the list. Okay, then if you'd come forward, restate your name for the record and share your position.
Thank you, Judge and Commissioners. Good morning.
Good morning.
On 15C, which is what we're talking about, discuss and take appropriate action on rules and our guidelines for activities associated with polling locations on county property. Appreciate you bringing that up, Commissioner Nowak. This does border on our freedom of speech, as you stated and BD stated, and so I'm glad to hear that you're interested in keeping our rights out there. We'd just like to emphasize that as you make a decision whether you're going to make any rule changes or anything. On the sprinklers, what I'd like to suggest is, just like in other personal property or whatever, you can call the entities out there that have lines there, and they can mark them. I would suggest that we could do that also. And so just wanted to say thank you for bringing this up. We all are very, very adamant on free speech, and we're glad that you're seeing that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right. Daryl Palmer, are you with us today? You had mentioned that you wanted to make a comment. Is Daryl with us? All right. Are there any other citizens who are here who would like to make comment? As you come to the microphone, if you would state your name and the item for the record, please.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
I'm John Wirtz, Montgomery County Tea Party, and treasurer of the Montgomery County Republican Party. When I saw what was on the agenda, 15C in particular, regarding the elections and minimizing campaigning at the polls, I couldn't believe my eyes. But it doesn't surprise me who's behind it. Basically, I think your constituents that you mentioned, only by constituents, are probably Democrats and a voter awareness council. Elected representatives here who have an R behind their names, who appear to be maybe skirting on the edge of grassroots First Amendment's rights. Wow, never thought I'd see the day. Gentlemen, do you know what this is? It's called safe baiting. That's when a particular group, Democrats in this case, confronts another group, like grassroots, as they did at the Woodlands Community Center that day, when they called you out there, Commissioner Nowak, and I was there, by either covering up our signs or flat out removing them, and then crying foul that their own rights are being violated because someone confronted them about it. In fact, it's them who are violating. And I do have pictures here that I'll share. I only have one set, so I'll give it to the judge. Safe baiting, another tool in the Alinsky liberal playbook. The question is, will you fall for it? And not surprisingly, the Voter Awareness Council is right there with them. Also, in their attempt to limit free speech rights by limiting signs and access to voters at the polling place. It's on their website. I've got pictures, as I mentioned, and you guys can pass around, of the blatant provocation by Rashmi Gupta putting her signs, her own signs, and the four, the school bond, Pork Island, pork-laden bond signs. Why? Because they know they're outnumbered then and in the future as well, and they'd have to do something dramatic to get the grassroots out of the parking lot campaigning against them and their socialist policies. That's what's going on here. Speaking for the grassroots, if I may, our concern is that as incumbents, often being challenged, or sometimes being challenged by us, that you may want to remove our First Amendment rights of free speech too. Then all you guys have to do is squash challengers to use your hundreds of thousands in donations from your vendors that taxpayers pay for to out-yard sign us and out-mail us. But we all know that's the wrong thing to do. It also borders on being unconstitutional, as has been mentioned here. So in effect, the ruling class Republicans would be collaborating with the Democrats, safe baiting to squash the grassroots First Amendments. That would be our Alamo. Do the right thing and let this die without bringing it to a vote, or if it gets past that, without getting a second. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. as we move forward, I would like to recognize someone here as one of our elected officials to in our delegation to the state of Texas. Steve Toth is with us today. Steve, if you would just stand, and we can all recognize that you're here with us. Thank you very much. We're getting to that. Okay, Walter, we're not there yet. We are going to have citizen comments. Exactly. And you know what? What's beautiful? America's a great place, and we're Americans, and we're going to let you. So give me just a minute, if you would, please. Come on, man. Please just have a seat, and we'll give you a chance. Let me finish. Did you sign up? Okay, you don't need to, but there are those who have requested, and we're going to stay on this subject until we move off of it. You have my word and the court's word that we will not defer until we get through with our citizen comments. Fair enough?
Oh, that's so fair.
Thank you. All right. Representative Toth, you had mentioned that you were going to say something to us on this issue.
It's not on this issue, actually. It's on property taxes, so I'll wait till the end.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Are there any other comments on this particular issue? Ms. Walter, if you would, please. If you would state your name for the record and the purpose.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Walter Boyd. Thank you for remembering me. I've been in Alabama for almost a year. Hey, on this particular issue, I'd like to speak. I think there is a little different response on that, but I think maybe if you're the voters, there's a place there for voters. They can park right up in front, maybe get a bigger avenue, let everybody who has other business just park up in front. And but a lot of people don't know that. But I'm going to tell you, these public things at these polling places are the best thing I've ever seen in politics in my life. And you remember, Judge, when you and I got into it big time, and they almost had to call the cops on me, but when I was supporting Mr. Tough, you know. But God, what a great thing that was. And I've just got to come and see Dr. Julie here, my psychologist, and all those people at those polling places. These people are the best people in the world, even though I disagree. Montgomery County Tea Party, the Tea Party Patriots, all of them. that are coming out here to campaign. They're doing their duty, and I commend them. And I'm a free speech guy to Commissioner Nowak. Thank God for praise this country. God bless America. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter.
Thank you.
We appreciate that so much. Are there any other comments on this particular issue? All right, then, Commissioner, how would you like to move forward on this?
No action. There's nothing.
Okay, so do we have a motion to take no action on this? Is there a second?
We just need to move on.
Yeah, you don't need a motion.
Okay, I'm just going by what our county attorney just mentioned, but that's okay. Good. There's no action, and we're going to move on. Thank you all very much for that robust discussion. All right, proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. First is by the Heritage Museum of Montgomery County. That would be miscellaneous at the end, Representative. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Move on both of them.
Okay. Yes. Would you like to move on both resolutions? Do you have a motion to move on both resolutions or a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. Consider approved commissioners' court minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So move to the consent agenda. Are there any modifications that you would like to make to the consent agenda, gentlemen? Commissioner, was that item that you mentioned earlier, was that on consent?
That's on consent.
And where, what page is that on?
Page 6.
Page 6. 10I2C on page 6.
Okay. And you would like to move that to open?
No, defer just defer it.
Just defer it? Okay. I would like to move L1 on page 7 and also H1A on page 4. I'd like to move those to open. L1, page 7, H1A, page 4. Are there any other items that we'd like to modify? If there's not, then do I have a motion to approve the court agenda with modifications?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Then we'll move right to open agenda.
Yep, I got it.
On L1, page 7, this particular one is that we please consider and approve the 2019 FMA home buyout grant award of $10 million plus, authorized Darren Hess to sign. I've asked, moved this so that Darren Hess could come and share with us about what's going on here, if there are any questions about the movement of that money.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Yes.
Good morning. Thank you for moving this to open. Actually, there's a typo on this. We're not actually accepting the award at this time. We're just submitting the application on behalf of Montgomery County residents. About 2 months ago, you authorized me to proceed with hiring a contractor to develop the grant application. We've done that, and now it's prepared and ready to submit to the state, asking that you allow me to submit it and authorize me to sign and execute all related paperwork. This will be for approximately $10 million for 37 properties identified throughout Montgomery County in all four precincts.
All right. This is an application?
That's correct.
37 properties where?
Throughout Montgomery County.
Do you have those 37 properties?
I have those, yes, sir. I can meet with you or your okay. staff later to discuss those addresses. But these are all repetitive loss, severe repetitive loss, 90-100% funding, no cost to the county.
Okay.
And you'll make sure to get with Evan as well?
Evan or Andy, yes, sir.
Perfect.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Darren. We appreciate that so much. H1A, page 4, we have stated that to consider and approve Peggy Hanrahan as commissioner to the Houston Authority of Montgomery County, Texas. We're not sure how that got printed like that. Nonetheless, we would like to rephrase it as Peggy Hanrahan as the commissioner of the Montgomery County Housing Authority.
Got it.
Okay.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. All right. Now, as we move into the open agenda, number 11, consider, discuss, and approve the appointment of members of the Animal Shelter Advisory Board. We have five positions on that that need to be filled. I know that Robbie Benson, who represents our shelter, has offered to participate and continue to participate.
I'd like to nominate someone.
Okay.
I got an Andrea Kimball I'd like to nominate.
Okay, and should be at large director. Yeah. Okay. Andrea Kimball.
Andrea Kimball, yes.
How do you spell it last name?
K-I-M-M-E-L.
K-I-M-M-E-L. All right. Gentlemen, are there any others?
No, but, Judge, this board, you know, there are some requirements of
correct
how often they meet. I just hesitate to put the same board back in place when they failed to meet for at least a full year. I don't think that shows a willingness to...
Can I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
If I can get the approval of the court here, I would offer my services as a member of the board.
Be great.
Take a deep breath and do it. But I'm willing to do it if that will work for y'all.
So
that I would represent the county. Then we have the one represents the shelter, one for the county. We need to have the vet, I think.
And we need a new vet, too. We need a vet
correct.
That... didn't work for the shelter. So if anybody knows a vet that would like to volunteer some time, it would be great. And the shelter's doing better than it ever has. I mean, Aaron Johnson and Mark Wasaki and the entire staff over there are doing a fantastic job. But having an active board that is going to provide, you know, some leadership and insight would be... very valuable. It's just
what vet's on the board now? Is there a vet on the board?
Dr. Gentry and
isn't he leaving?
Yeah, he's off the board, and I'm not looking for.
Okay. So right now we have Andrea Kimball, we have Robbie Benson who wants to continue. Benson representing the shelter. I would represent the county. There's three of the five. We still need a vet and one other person. If there's, do we have anybody else today? If we don't, we can revisit that, but can we take action?
You want to leave Benson on there?
I don't. I thought that Robbie Benson was moving. No, yes,
yes.
Is she here?
State your name, if you would, for the record.
Commissioner Jason Olsevs, County Judge's Office. I talked to Robbie. She is a resident of Precinct 1. She's still here, not planning on moving.
Okay.
She was just a general member. Commissioner Clark was our county representative that chaired that body. And so, you know, he was not here last year, so they did not meet. Robbie actually met with us a couple times in the office throughout the year begging for the committee to meet, but there wasn't a quorum of members that were still interested in participating. So she's interested in continuing. Right now with the three nominees, we would have a quorum to at least get started while we wait to get a vet and then a fifth member on the board so we can at least meet our requirement to meet four times a year, quarterly.
That sounds good. And I've asked, it's just hard to find people that want to serve on these boards these days.
Well, if Robbie's that
interested in it,
I think we ought to reappoint her.
Sounds good.
All right, so we still need two. That being said, do I have a motion to accept the three individuals? Okay, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for volunteering.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. All right, as we move on to item number 12, the budget. Amanda.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
I do have a quick presentation just for you guys and for any county staff that might be watching. FY 2020 mid-year budget process. We've talked about this quite a few times. We talked about it during budget workshop. We've talked about it several times when different elected officials and department heads have come up. Now we're going to kind of talk about the reasons that we're going to do it, kind of the process of going through that, and then set a date as to when we're going to actually do the workshop. So the reason that you would do a mid-year update is one is to give the updated financial state of the county. And many times you guys do get a monthly report from the auditor's office and consent that it is the financial report, but no one really explains to you kind of what's going on with that report. So we're going to take this time in March to kind of go over those reports and kind of give you guys, feed you guys some financial information more than you'll ever want to know in the county. The second is to give an opportunity for the engagement on the budget needs. So obviously, normally budget is in the summer. So normally we engage department heads and elected officials once a year. This will give the opportunity for the departments to reflect on their budget again and to see if there's any changes that they might want to make. It also assists in the budget predictions for the remainder of the fiscal year. So by going through the mid-year budget process, that kind of gives us an idea of what might happen throughout the rest of the year, what might happen with fund balance towards the end, what might happen with retirees. We obviously know, based on some information we've given you guys, that retirees are a big thing. And so we've asked a few questions in the mid-year budget packet this year that will help, kind of help us assist and predict some of those retirees. The first question that we're going to have for a lot of departments as we go work through the budget packets is, do you have any budget shortfalls or surpluses that you're looking at? A lot of these budget shortfalls or surpluses could come from various things. Program changes, maybe they decided to do a program and are no longer beginning that program. Or maybe they had higher participation in a program than they thought they would. There would be also contract changes. When we have five-year renewals and the vendor doesn't want to renew, or maybe it's time for a different vendor, those contracts might be increased, and so we might want to see, or decreased. And so maybe we want to look at those and see kind of what's going on with those vendors and see if there's going to be a budget shortfall. We can also look at the higher trends compared to the historical data. Perfect example is court operations. We already know that they're going to be a little bit higher than they have been in the past, just based on trending from today. And then we also know that there's some, we'd like to look at the other accounts that might have a high variance. So maybe right now they're not using all of their budget. What are they expecting to spend that budget on? And, of course, you have new department heads. There's you guys have appointed several department heads that might want a fresh look at their budget and maybe change things up a little bit. And so the mid-year does give those guys an opportunity to change their budget in any way that they might see. We also give this opportunity to look at revenues and fees and make any changes that we might be necessary to that. We've had a couple of department heads reach out to Rakesh and I about changing their fees, and so this will give us an opportunity to really look at those with the county attorney, look going through the statutes if necessary, if there were any statute requirement changes that might have existed. Again, we've gotten a lot of departments requested. I do want to remind the court and everybody that at this point in the year, you cannot change the tax rate. The tax rate is set. So the property tax revenue is not on the table at all. And so department heads need to keep that in mind as well when they're asking for a new request. Personnel changes that we're looking for. As through the budget policy, we stated that a lot of department heads and elected officials can no longer just come to court and ask for changes in there. And we've had to turn down quite a few elected officials and department heads. So we're any of those department heads that did have any requests that they want to make, this is the time to make those requests to see if those changes might be viable. These including employees changing, like I said, if there's employees retiring and they want to move, shift monies between positions, if they want to do any reorganizations, if there's salary variances right now, if they're, hired somebody in at a lower salary, what's the plan on keeping that salary in that position? And then, of course, any salary changes and then new positions. I'm just going to state at this point in the process, it doesn't look like there's going to be any money for new positions, so departments are still welcome to turn those in, but I'm just kind of guiding, don't get your hopes up too much, because it's really, right now, it's not looking like there's going to be that. So what's the process for how we get to the mid-year budget? So packets for mid-year were put as the backup for this agenda item. And those will be sent, if you guys approve those packets today, will be sent out to department heads and elected officials this afternoon. We will need a form for any change that they want to make. So if they want to make a revenue change, if they want to make a budget change, if they want to make a personnel change, anything related to that needs a form. We want documentation. For personnel-related matters, just like in the regular budget process, we are asking departments to fill out their personal modification forms and the position description questionnaires. Those will be sent to HR. HR will review those, Dodie and her staff, and then we'll take a look with her as well. And then every department will complete a packet, even if no change is requested. That's what we're asking the court to take action on, is even if they're not asking for a change, let's have the documentation that you guys don't want to make any changes. This is the time. I don't want anybody to feel like they're not getting a voice on their budget. One-on-one meetings can be scheduled if there are questions. So if department heads are like, hey, this is an idea we have, what do you think? I encourage those departments to reach out to me and Dodie. All packets are submitted to HR and budget by the end of the day, February 28th. So it basically gives gives the department heads and elected officials a full month to go through their budget needs, to set those meetings, to review with staff, all of those things. And then what we will do is budget office will compile those packets, do a recommended, and we'll bring that mid-year budget to be reviewed with you guys on a March 17th workshop. So you guys already have a regular scheduled commissioner's court on March 17th. What I would ask is that you guys set a workshop for either immediately after or in the afternoon. And then at the March 24th commissioner's court, I'll bring a budget amendment reflecting any mid-year changes that we might have. Do you guys have any questions for me on the mid-year budget process?
I think you've done a great job of laying out how you'd like to proceed with it. One thing I'd like to add is for the past several years during the budget workshops, the commissioner's court has talked about the potential of charging municipalities for some of the services that the county provides. Fire marshal, jail, animal control, animal shelter, permitting, environmental, engineering, seizures that are taking place through the JP's office, a potential and any other things that we may want to consider. And we always want to do something, but we don't have the time because we don't want the cities to be, you know, we don't want to give them 2 weeks notice that, hey, by the way, you're going to have to start paying for these things. So I know Commissioner Metter and I have talked about it. It's been widely discussed in our meeting. So I think we need to work. If you could bring us some ideas of what other counties typically do, what services we would be charging municipalities for, and so we can have a very open conversation and then give cities the opportunity of 6 months to plan to take those costs in. So maybe in the 2020 budget or 2021 budget, we could effectuate those changes.
Yeah, we've
absolutely
been about 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. We've discussed some of those as well with some of the department heads previously as well, Commissioner.
Do you know what the fiscal year budget of the city is?
Say again?
Fiscal year.
Yeah, so most fiscal years, October 1st to September 30th. There's a few that aren't. I think City of Houston does a 2-year budget, but most of them do October, September.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just in the
excuse me, Judge.
Go
one
ahead.
More thing.
Go ahead.
If we
go ahead,
do decide to make a change, we need you're right. We need to alert the city prior to their pre-budget meetings.
Yep. So we can we'll bring some research on March 17th, and then what I would recommend is that any changes that we do want to make or any that we'll put those on the March 24th court for you guys to effectuate the changes.
And so that everybody knows, this is a topic of discussion. There's not an agenda here to target this. There are some areas that are worthy of certainly discussion, but the court is not mandating now that we're going to start charging for a whole lot of services when, but people need to know that because it sounds like, well, here we go. They're getting ready to prep us for more taxes. And that is not what we're trying to do here. So just as a conversation, but to echo also what Commissioner Nowak has said, and I'm sure you would all agree, this is a great job, Amanda. It's a great presentation, clear, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do we have a motion to accept and approve our mid-year budget packet?
Move.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Well done. Precinct 2, Commissioner.
I want to consider and discuss take appropriate action regarding the appointment of a conference committee to finalize the tolling regulation. You know, we've been working with this tolling regulation now for I don't know how long, but what I'd like to do is ask the court to approve two commissioners, and I'd like to be one of them, and two people from the sheriff's office and somebody from the county attorney's office to form this committee, finalize this towing procedure, bring it back to the court and either vote it up or vote it down, but it's time we'll get it back to the court and get it voted on, and I'm willing to get that done, and I want to appoint this committee and make that happen.
And, Commissioner, I'm fine if you guys want to set a committee, but after the last workshop, I kind of was expecting us just to put an agenda item on there to basically.
Well, there was a couple of things that was discussed that wanted to be changed. I want to make sure that's in there, make sure it's changed, go over the procedures, put it all together, and move forward.
Do you want to be on? Then you two be on the committee.
No, I think Commissioner Hatt should be.
I'll help you with it, Commissioner Rob.
appointee from the court.
That's good.
And if we could get, what'd you say, Sheriff County?
A couple of guys from the Sheriff's Office.
With the attorney's office, yeah.
Yeah, to be able to sit down and discuss it, and the citizens' input was very important last time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're past that, so yeah. It's time to take some action, and I think a committee is the responsible thing to do. I move.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner. All right, tax assessor collector, Tammy.
Hey.
Good morning.
Morning, Tammy.
An exciting day today.
How are you?
Been a long time.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 14A, consider and take appropriate action on a proposed tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and BGXI Incorporated. And before I get started, I'd just like for you to know that we do have members of, we have Danielle and we have Daniel here from BGXI. And so if we have any questions, we have those here. This is a real property, approximately 21 and a half acres, located in the Dyson Technology Park. And this would be the first one, first facility to go into the Dyson Park. But it's a proposed facility is 200,000 square feet, office manufacturing and research development facility that produces DNA plasmids for human clinical trial, virus production, toxicology studies, and preclinical research. And I've given you a tax analysis to see what it would look like if you granted this abatement. It would be a 10-year agreement, Category C, 100%, and they would be purchasing the property as well as the 200,000 square feet facility and adding personal property.
Well, we're very excited to have somebody in Dyson Park. Danielle, congratulations. Great job. Thank y'all for putting this together. This is exactly, I think, what the city has been looking for to get this park kickstarted, and that's what this will do. It's a tech business, and we're excited to have them moving in. And do we have somebody here from VGX?
We have Daniel here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And I guess one of the most important things is to tell you that this would add $86 million with the property, the inventory, and with the facility. It's an $86 million project. Daniel, did you
want to
come up?
The capital investment is awesome, as the commissioner has brought up in the past. Also, just a couple questions. For the benefit of the public, I know, but just kind of the questions. How much tax on that property that they're going to be working with, how much tax are we bringing in now?
Okay. They are currently located in BGXI has they lease a facility in the Woodlands.
I'm talking about the property at Dyson. In other words, we're not bringing in any dollars on the Dyson property.
None. It's exempt right now.
So by doing this, we will be bringing in?
Well, let's see. With the land is valued at $1.9 million, and
point being, we're getting nothing now.
Correct. Okay. So
for years,
it would be
that's right.
For years,
just under $10,000 per year.
Yeah. And I really think, you know, everybody's been kind of sitting back watching Dyson, and it's been what 6 years?
Yeah. Sorry about that. Good morning. It opened in May of 2013.
Okay. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful facility. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Beautiful park. And I think everybody's been kind of sitting back waiting for somebody to open the door. And these guys did. I think it's going to be a wonderful addition, obviously, to the Dyson Park. But also the capital investment, the salary, everything that comes along with this is just a home run. And this is what we need, more and more of these out there. So.
Thank you very much, Commissioner and Judge. I will state, too, the City of Conroe obviously has supported this project through their incentive programs as well. We approved a tax abatement agreement for the project on January 23rd, and then we have a development incentive agreement that we approved through the 4B sales tax for economic development that was actually approved in November 25th of 2019.
Plus the tax levy loss, $27,000 a year. With the abatement in place, and when that abatement goes off.
Right, and that's over the life of the 10-year agreement.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
And they're adding approximately 123 new employees over the life of the abatement.
Now, on your document, it says 185.
That's total. They currently have 23?
You said you, right.
62, okay.
Added. Okay,
they're
good.
Adding.
Very good.
Yes.
All right.
And we're keeping them in the county.
Yeah.
Right.
We're retaining a wonderful international business. This is not just a local business. This is worldwide. And we're very, very glad to have you, and I move we approve it.
I second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you
very
much.
Thank
you very
much.
Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Daniel.
All right. Elections. Susie Harvey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Susie. Morning.
Please consider and approve the order for changes to county election precinct boundaries. The purpose of these changes is just to take in a building that's suitable for a polling place in the precinct.
Right. I move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Item B.
Consider and approve an order changing the polling location for the county election precincts that are listed and the designation of the other two county election precincts.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, Susie. Rakesh, County Auditor.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 16A, consider and approve payment of accounts.
Move.
Second. Discussion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gilbert, purchasing.
Judge, as long as we're talking about money real quick, on the budget, can we set a date for the mid-year workshop for Amanda? We approved the budget packet, but we didn't actually set a date and a time for her workshop.
Okay, should we do that right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we took the 17th after court.
The 17th, right after court or in the afternoon or?
I'd say, hey, right after court. We're already here.
On the 17th, I don't care.
So we're going to amend the motion to include what we said before.
That's
plus
fine,
the
or
17th
make a new
after
one.
Court. Okay,
yes.
Do we have a motion to approve the amendment?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Motion carries silently.
Hey. Good morning.
Everybody nodded. Proceed.
Yes, sir.
Gilbert.
Our item is a change order one to James Construction contract for the Fish Creek thoroughfare for Precinct 2 in the amount $61,855 and a seven-day extension.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Gilbert, thank you very much. At this time, item 18 in our executive session, the court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. And then we shall return. There is no action to be taken from our executive session, at this point,
I'd like to...
Commissioner Nowak, you had an amendment?
Yeah, we deferred item 10I2C on page 6. Now I would like to undefer that and go ahead and vote on that item.
All right, that was on consent, correct?
Correct.
All right, do you have a motion?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. Are there any...
Oh, no, I'm good.
Are there any citizens who are here that did not speak who would like to speak at this time? If there are none, are there any miscellaneous items, gentlemen, that we need to take up?
I move we adjourn.
All right. We have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all for being with us today.
Bye.